Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air, talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. It settles in your soul. Really does. Totally. This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mind. I am here with Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning.
With Carlos Zapata. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning.
And our trusty producer, the hat man himself, Travis.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Wearing a Jefferson shirt.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I got it. I got it today. You're a man of your word. I'm happy. Thank you.
Broadcasting live from KCNR. 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. And we're here this morning. So, Wynn, how was your drive over here, buddy?
Quick.
That's what happens when you leave late, man. My perpetually late and tardy partner here. But not anymore. You know, you've been really good about that. I got to tell you, you've been good.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been listening to these commercials about, what's it called, where you can learn a language like, immediately. What's it called? What's that called, Travis?
Duolingo.
Is that what it is?
I believe so, yes.
Or Babbel.
Babbel. That's what it was.
That one too, yeah.
Well,
You do that when you drink too much, Terry.
Actually, I learned how to speak Japanese.
Yeah, when you get hurt.
I threw cold water on my face and I learned how to speak Japanese. Then I ran around a corner and stumped my toe and I learned how to cuss in Japanese.
Yep.
So who needs Babbel? Why pay for that crap, right, Carlos?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Anyway, I have a couple of announcements. One is there is a cruise January the 6th, and first of all, we need to have prayer for that Congress does the right thing, and our president remains the president, and this fraud, we'll be talking about that as we go on the program, but we're going to have a cruise here right in Reading. It's going to start at 4 p.m. We'll meet in the old Kmart parking lot, which is now Big Lots, I believe.
Yep, that's
okay.
It.
And we'll be meeting there at 4 o'clock, and we are going to cruise. It'll be most likely the Cool April Nights cruise. So that's the route we're going to take.
Yep.
And then on Tuesday, it's very, very important that people be at the Board of Supervisors meeting, right there at the Board of Supervisors. We are going to support Patrick Jones, and we are going to make sure that we are not stomped on anymore by anyone, especially locally, on our rights.
1450 Court Street.
Probably the most influential opportunity we'll have.
Yes, sir. And Carlos, that's a good point. I want you to expand a little bit, really, on how important local is, how important it really is.
This is huge. I mean, this is our movement coming to fruition now. You know, the last 10 months of work really coming to a point, coming to a head, and a great opportunity for every single citizen who's wondering what they can do to come out and flood the walls, you know. Let's flood the place and send a message that we're here to stay. This is the beginning of a new movement. You know, and we're in charge, and Patrick, you know, congratulate him for what he's been able to accomplish so far and look forward to what he's going to do from here on out.
Amen.
We need to support him.
Absolutely.
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, he's a very unique situation. We have a supervisor who is been elected as a supervisor. He also beat Megan Daly in the assembly race in Shasta County by a lot,
yeah,
a whole lot. You stop and think about the popularity of that, and there are so many good people. Our Board of Supervisors right now, I mean, it's intolerable what they're doing. We keep throwing stuff at the governor, and, you know, we keep saying that the governor's doing this and the governor's doing that, and he is. There's no question. He is. Okay? He's a tyrant. He is. But if you're a Board of Supervisor and you're complicit in these things, what does that make you?
You're part of the problem.
Yes, sir. You know, one of the things, Carlos, that really has resonated, I know that you were talking about this the other day, and I want you to elaborate on it. you know, the real deal is, folks, if you're, you know, if you're not upset about them taking your business and you're not upset that, about them taking your money, they're trying to take your kids.
Yeah, they are. And I think that this is not something new. I don't think this is, you know, the third order of business for them after wanting to take other things. I think that this is the first order of business, and they've been trying to take our kids for a couple of generations now, right? And we've talked about this a little bit about how they've, you know, the whole education system really has been formulated now and built around an idea of complicity, you know, of compliance, of being docile, of taking away that human spirit that wants to be creative and wants to go out and explore. You know, we've lost that, what I call the pioneer spirit, you know, that Western spirit of wanting to, wanting to fight for what's right, wanting to stand up for yourself. You know, nowadays, kids don't know how to stand up for themselves, physically or verbally. They don't know how to carry themselves with the confidence that other generations have carried themselves with, that we learned coming up. They can't even shake a hand, you know. Right. And so this is a problem, you know, that we've been experiencing for some time now. It's a cultural problem, you know, that starts in our classrooms at a very young age and then goes into the funnel of, I call it the pipeline of liberalism, which is universities and colleges, you know, where we put so much emphasis and on kids getting to college. That was a metric by which schools are measured, was how many kids are going to universities and colleges upon graduation, where I don't think that should be a metric at all. You know, I think we need to start pushing the trade schools. We need to start pushing, you know, just other avenues of work, you know, that don't involve a college education. So, I mean, I can go on and on about that. It's, you know, something I'm pretty passionate about because I think it's not only a brainwashing, but it is a way to enslave kids into big, big credit debt, you know, at a very young age. You know, you leave college with a whole lot of, not only, you know, school loans, but a whole lot of credit card debt usually just to get by, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just not worth it. And it really is a racket. You know, I said this a little bit last week, how guys like Gary Vaynerchuk, who are gazillionaires now, you know, and run big corporations, you know, they put very little value on these college graduates now. They say, look, I'd rather hire a kid right out of high school who's hungry to learn how to operate in this free marketplace and who wants to, you know, really be on the streets doing work than some kid who just left college and has no idea why he's there or what he's doing. And it's a racket, and he talks about this. You know, he talks about this being the biggest racket in the world. I can't claim bankruptcy on these college loans. You know, I am enslaved to them into our 40s, you know. And for what? You know, are you really guaranteed a job? No. I think what you're guaranteed is a liberal ideology, you know, and that's exactly what they want.
You're so right about being a racket. I know that the University of Texas fired their coach. Now, I know this is maybe off the subject a little bit, but it's really on it. Sure. They fire a coach. They're going to pay this guy $15 million not to coach next year. Then they hired another coach, the assistant coach of the offensive coordinator of the of Alabama. They hired him, and Lord knows what they're going to pay him. Where'd the money come from? They didn't have people in the stands. There wasn't really anything happening there. Where does that money come from?
That's a racket.
It's a racket. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. And you're so right about kids learning. It's kind of like what the militia does when they take these young men out and they take them out for the weekend and they teach them life skills. They teach them survival skills. They teach them about the Constitution. They teach them about the Bible. They teach them how to be men. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're lacking that so much in this country right now. And that's why, you know, I think that, you know, people like yourself, you know, people like Woody Clendenin, people like Chris Ann Hall, people like Peggy Hall, all these people that are leading the way and standing up for what we need to believe in. But remember, we have to be educated. We have to understand that we have to be educated on what protects us. We have to be educated on the law and what we can do. But remember, education doesn't work alone. You have to have action with education. And the way it's going, sometimes maybe you need to have action first. Isn't that right, brother?
No, you're very right. Education doesn't always take place, or I should say rarely takes place in a classroom. How many of us remember what we learned in elementary school or junior high school or even high school or college, for that matter? You know, I mean, let's talk about what we've learned in life. We've learned just in life, you know, by interacting with people, by going to work, by failing. And that's another thing is we've tried to create a society where – you know, failure is not an option. And I say that when you're learning and you're growing and progressing, failure is the best option. That's your best teacher that you'll ever have in your life.
And as long as you embrace it.
As long as you embrace it, and learn how to deal with it. But we've created such a sterile society of sterile people that just do not know how to bounce back from a loss. You don't
that's
know
why everybody gets a participation trophy and ribbon.
And that's exactly what we are right now. No, you're right.
Early on, it's like
we laugh about that. It's become kind of a cliche to, you know, talk about the participation trophy generation, but it's a very real thing that we're experiencing now, where kids need to understand that there is winners and losers in life. You know, there's decisions that lead to bad things, decisions that lead to very good things.
We need to start with soccer. My son played soccer all the way from 4 years old all the way through college. And they can end in a tie. I'm sorry. Baseball doesn't end in a tie.
Life doesn't end in a tie.
Life does not end in a tie. So soccer absolutely should not be ending in a tie. There's a winner or loser. Play until somebody dies or wins. You know, it's got to happen. Yeah. That's one thing that it always.
And you talked about the spirit of these young people. Our youngest son was born with spina bifida, and he's been in a wheelchair forever. And when he was around 9 years old, he wanted to join Little League because they had Little League that was special for kids that were handicapped. And they wouldn't keep score. So a lot of the kids got together and said, you know what, this doesn't make any sense. Where's the competition in this? We don't keep score. What's the gratification of winning? What's the process of if you lose? I mean, these kids were standing up. I mean, these young kids.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, you stop and think about it, just like what you said, you know. It just gets to a point where a participation trophy ought to use that, and I can't say it on the radio. But I'm gonna figure out some words that I can effing use that are okay. Right?
Well,
okay,
competition drives the human spirit. You know, competition is really, really what feeds, I would say, my spirit.
Yes,
you know, it makes me want to get up in the morning and be better than somebody. And that's okay. It's okay to want to be better than somebody.
And your son loves the
rodeo. You know,
he was awesome.
I'll tell you, and he hates to lose. You know, when he bucks off, when he doesn't do as good as he thought he should have done, it keeps him awake at night, and I love it. You know, I let him take that loss hard because I know he always comes back and fixes it and does
it the
next time.
It.
You know,
yeah.
Absolutely. You know, there's a quote that I love that I use a lot. I say, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser.
Well, on that note, we're gonna talk to all you winners out there, but we have to go to a break first because time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
We are Women of Vision. We have exciting news. We will no longer be on for Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Our new home will be with North State Now, last Thursday of the month, starting January 2021.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show where every Thursday night a different host highlights people, places, entertainment, local heroes, arts, and women of vision.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women. Join us for North State Now, last Thursday of the month, 6 to 7 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me every time.
Love flashes fully, disturbing our peace. No more taking of our freedom and our God-given rights. Pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave.
Good morning, Jeffersonians.
We're back.
We are back. It's Wynn, Carlos, and Terry, oh my.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Two out of the three are trouble.
And on the phone, we have the First Lady of the State of Jefferson, Janet Chandler. How are you, my dear?
Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. I am good. Thank you. And it is morning, and I'm awake.
Now, there's a story behind that. If the good Lord ever wanted Janet to see the sunrise, he would have had it rise at noon. Okay? I mean, you know, this woman...
Or just not go to bed the night before.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I can't get up early.
I know. 2 o'clock in the morning, I got an email. No. How'd you do that, huh? So how are you doing?
I should have owned a bar. It would have worked great.
You don't want to go down that
road. So anyway, we're here with Carlos Wynn and Travis and Janet. Janet, what's on your mind?
Oh, I've been listening and loving what Carlos has to say about kids. And we all know that one of the basic tenets of the Communist Party has been to take over your children. And by taking over the children, both in education and culturally at an early age, then they own them for the rest of their lives. And, of course, that's what they're doing. They have attacked our institutions, particularly education, and they have turned some of our very reasonable, thoughtful children into monsters.
Amen.
And I see it happen with people who have done the right things, and yet the educational system still wins. And this idea of winners and losers and self-reliance, they are canceling our culture. They're turning us into wimps. Like you said, everybody gets a trophy. I am really interested in the Nevada lawsuit that has been filed by a mother for her teenage son, who was required to take critical race theory in school, mm-hmm. and was subjected to horrors and torture over that critical race theory.
I think the Cal State system is starting this year. Is
and
we
need to recognize that this is not just by chance. It's planned. Gramsci, the Italian communist of the early 20th century, said that his goal was not to go out and fight a revolution. His goal was to capture the culture, and then swords would not be necessary. And, of course, a big part of that culture is education. There is good news. The State of Jefferson Constitution specifically says that parents have the right to determine their children's future, their education, and their medical care. And we have also turned over the education in Jefferson to the parents. It is not under control of the state. So there is a solution to this problem.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I know that Chris Ann, you and Chris Ann Hall, worked on that in the living room, as a matter of fact. And
that's right.
A big problem, too, is the teachers' unions. You know, they're so strong in California here. Well, you can't fire a bad teacher. You know, I mean, a teacher could get away with murder, and they're hard to fire. So we're stuck with them, and our kids are stuck with them. And we just go, oh, well, but we don't realize that that's the most formative, you know, part of our kids' lives, yet we are, you know, just ready to relinquish that to bad teachers. And you know, that's what my kids now, they're homeschooling, and they love it. They love what they're doing, and they love what they're learning. And we've sort of found a way to avoid that. But, you know, the grand majority of people don't have the situation that we have in the house where we're able to be home with the kids during the day,
right?
You know, and be there for them. And we need to deal with this. This school thing's a big, big deal, and I think that's got to be a big, you know, centerpiece for us to work on. So
yes, sir.
Yep.
And thank you, Janet, for coming up with that. You're an amazing person. Stay with us, and we have Penny on the other line. Penny, what say you, my dear?
Hi.
Good morning, Penny.
Hi, Penny.
Good morning.
Hi, or happy specimen.
Yes, are you a happy specimen?
I'm very happy today.
Okay, well, I have some issues with that name.
I know you do.
I mean, happy specimen, was that the one that made it through?
Yes. I gave them all three names.
It took a while for everybody to get that one. Not really.
Hi, Janet. Hi, Carlos.
Hello. Good morning.
So, Penny.
And talking about schools, Janet, you wrote an article for The Messenger in September, and one of the subtitles was Autonomy of Educational Institutions. Hmm. And could you go over and relate to how the educational system would be ran in Jefferson? And also, I did homeschool my kids. I homeschooled them for quite a while. It's a lot of work, but they had a lot of fun.
And it has to be fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it has to be fun. We went everywhere. We did all kinds of things. But, Janet, your article, back in September, you talked about the institutions and how they're being held and how we're going to get away from the problems we're having with our schools now who have been attacking our kids since the 1960s. And I'll just take my answer offline. Let you guys get back to your stuff.
Thank you, Penny.
Thank you, happy specimen.
You're welcome. See you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Janet, did you hear what Penny was asking?
Not a word.
Oh,
no.
Of course. This is the way this.
Yeah, all I could hear was you guys breathing and laughing.
Oh, great. That's the way this phone system works here. We're sorry for that. Okay. What she said was you wrote an article back in September about the school systems. Do you recall that article you wrote?
No, but my ideas have not changed.
Okay.
Let me respond
this
way.
I'm going to start using that answer.
There was a point in my children's school career where harm was being done, and I removed them from school and homeschooled them. And I probably saved the life of one of my children. If I had left him in the school system, I shudder to think where he would be today. And he is not on that path because I switched him. And then, ironically, I became a public school teacher for a 20-year career. And I refused to join the union.
Good.
I could see what it was. All they wanted was my money to donate to radical left causes. And I refused to do that. So I fought the union the entire time I was in. And now, of course, we have right to work where they can't force you to join a union and pay them dues.
Wow.
And I think the second part of her comment was asking how the education system would be run in the state of Jefferson.
Yeah, right. Now, that was the other part. Then, how would you see, or what do you think is going to be happening, or what does the Constitution address about the education system within Jefferson?
Well, we have Article 11, and this is one where we worked very hard on putting together a rather complex system of education. And then Chris Ann Hall got a hold of it and said, but you're totally wrong. And that's because we were still connecting the education system to government. And when she said, why would you let government regulate your education, it all became clear. And it's not government's job at all. It's not government's job to make the rules. It's not government's job to pay for it. It's up to the parents. And so Article 11 says that it's up to the parents to decide what they want for their children's education, and it's also the responsibility of the parents to put it together. It's up to them to find the system that works best for their particular children. And when you look at it that way, it all becomes so easy and so short. Parents, it's your job. Teach them at home.
And
unfortunately,
you know, somebody would say that not every kid has the right parents to fill that role, and that's something that we need to deal with. You know, I mean, if you can homeschool your kids, great, and we should teach them the things that we want them to learn. but we need to also hold our schools accountable for the kids who can't stay home. And the words that I hate is curriculum, mandates and curriculum. And if you look at the curriculum that comes out now, you know, we're talking about sexual education at an age where kids don't need to be talking about that stuff. We're talking about them filling their brains at a very young age with things that young minds shouldn't have in them, you know. Right. And then we're talking about standardized testing, where that takes all the responsibility off of teachers to teach, and it makes it very easy for them to just guide kids through, you know, A, B, C, D towards a standardized test. And
well, standardized testing is just socialism.
That's all it is.
Yeah, standardized testing.
And you are drawing the line across the board and saying every child needs to be the same. And as we know, we're just not all alike, are we?
No, not in the least.
You know, that's true. And a lot of it is, you know, again, there's going to be hard lessons to learn. And again, we've talked about it before. Apportionment. We have whether it's three states, four states, two states. We've got to divide up California to where the apportionment and get the representation right. But the real deal is that sometimes parents are going to have to take responsibility. And you know, if it's a single mom that wants to do the right thing, then she needs help. But again, I think what Janet's saying, what Chris Ann was saying, was basically that what we need to do is we need to have a system that's put together by parents, not put together by bureaucrats, and not put together by the state. And with that, Richard, can you hang on, brother, because we've got to go off to the break, and Travis has been almost, he's been waving his shirt, taking it off at us and stuff.
No, he's a pool dancer.
I mean, that's, you know, you don't want that in your Christmas card, okay?
But only one thing to correct, though, Terry, when you said sometimes the parents need to, always the parents.
Oh, you're right.
Always.
Yes, sir.
Accountability.
It is the parents' responsibility. If you're going to have them from day one, you are responsible until you die.
You're right.
You are responsible.
You're right.
So that's how it works. I'm sorry. That's my lifestyle. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yes, sir. Because time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Well, the road rolls out like a welcome mat.
good song.
And I ain't got no kind of plan. But I've had all the sound I can stand.
Is this my woman who sent this in? Yeah. And I got friends I good job, Sally, baby. That's good stuff.
Well done.
Almost wanted to let that play, but, you know, couldn't do it because we got somebody on the line. We got Richard on the line. How you doing, Richard? Are you there, Richard?
I'm here. How's my volume?
Bad.
Bad.
Bad. Worse.
Bad. What are you talking about? Can you get... You need to get a telephone, buddy.
Call back. Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Quit using the can and the string, Richard.
Richard, you have so much great stuff to say. You're such a patriot. You're such a leader.
We have to give him garbage.
And we got to get a telephone, man. Okay, I know. We're going to have a fundraiser for Richard.
Get him a phone.
Buy Richard a phone. It's ringing again. Let's
play see. School landline.
Let's see if Richard's back here. Janet, you still with us, honey?
Yes, I am still here.
Okay.
Thank you for being patient with us.
Yeah. Richard, are you there now?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
I'm here.
Yeah, we can hear you a little bit. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me?
All right, guys. Hey, update bad. On the citizens' arrest paperwork.
Yeah.
What do you think? You want an update?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know what's
but
going
yell,
on.
But yell. Yell into your phone. Please, yell. Go ahead.
Yelling. All right. Good. I want your piece. Middle of November, they dismissed the case, right? Lack of evidence, even though I told them where the evidence was, and Lieutenant Stonehouse said this is not the perfect place to get the evidence. This is not the avenue to get the evidence. Gee, law enforcement's not the avenue to get evidence. Let me see. Subpoenas, warrants, I don't know, just saying. And then they dismissed it due to lack of evidence, even though I told them where it was at. So then I went that same week, middle of November, I go to the records office and ask for the report, and then the lady's like, well, we don't have the report. There's a note here that says the DA has it. Okay, so I email the DA. I get a letter back the next day. We don't have your report. We never have had your report. So that report is in purgatory somewhere, and as of yesterday, no communication from either DA or sheriff regarding the report, its location, and me getting a copy of it. So I don't know, folks. I think everybody's stonewalling.
Well, I think that a lot of that, you know, when you stop and think about it, the sheriff's department said there was lack of evidence, so it isn't going anywhere. Then you're being told by the sheriff's department that the DA has it. Then you're being told by the DA that they don't have it and have never had it. And, you know, that's an unbelievable.
Why would the sheriff's department say that they had?
Why would the sheriff's department say that? And
why would they say that they passed it on the DA if there was no evidence?
If there's anybody out there that knows a deputy or knows or has the sheriff's phone number, his cell phone number, let's find out about this stuff. I think we're all getting a little tired of the corruption.
Get them fired up.
What do you think, Carlos?
Yeah, I think we've been tired of the corruption.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, to be fair, I've talked offline with some of the sheriffs involved here, you know, and they're very much on our side. But I think that the system they're working, the parameters they're working within, are limiting what they want to do.
And
so,
the directive they've been given.
Yep.
Well, you know, here's
let me tell you my opinion.
Go ahead.
Tell you my, this is opinion only. Okay, my arrest was so solid, it was just on such solid legal grounds, in my opinion. They are what's called doing creative report writing. Yes, I was a military police officer. I know what creative report writing is. And I think they are actually changing the report, and then once they're finished with it, they will get it to me. Because they know I've been public, and I'm going to come after them again with the same charges and fresh charges as soon as I get some more information. Very quickly. So they know that, okay? So I think they're rewriting the report, honestly.
And they should at least be keeping us abreast of what's going on and be more transparent as to what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that there's something, and you bring up a bigger question, and, you know, Janet, if you decide you want to weigh in on this, feel free to. But I think that there's a bigger question here. The question is, and Carlos and I were talking about this just before we came on the air, you know, at what point does your job responsibility take over your constitutional oath? At what point is your oath less important than what your boss tells you that could be illegal? It could be against the law. It could be against the United States Code. At what point, as a police officer or as a sheriff who's an elected official and a servant, a public servant of the people, at what point do these guys, at what point do we not give them a pass? I guess that's what I'm asking. I mean, that's a question. I'm not giving an opinion. But at what point do we not give these guys a pass for doing their job? They should be standing and interposing between somebody going into a business from a government agency and doing something illegal, trying to usurp the constitutional God-given rights that are given to a business. At what point does the sheriff go in there? At what point do the police go in there?
Well, don't they? They accept the job. They accept the position. They take the oath for that position. Then they start the work of that position. So to me, the oath supersedes it all.
And I'm not saying deputies shouldn't be held accountable. They absolutely should every single day of their lives. But I think our biggest, you know, avenue to approach, I think, is the sheriff himself. You know,
Carlos?
Yes.
Here's my opinion, and the smoke is coming out of my ears.
Okay. If there's no questions, I'll get out of here.
There is the quotation about tyranny can exist when good men do nothing, and I am sick and tired of having the rank and file excused for not standing up to their supervisors, to not standing up to the higher echelons. We've seen it in the FBI. It's destroying our country. Because the good men sit back and say, well, yeah, it's wrong, but I won't do anything. Why would those sheriff's deputies tell you it's bad, but they sit in silence? And as Wynn said, they took an oath. And why aren't they honoring that oath?
Sure.
Aren't they there to protect my rights? And if they allow illegalities to take place, they're not protecting my rights. So why are they there? Why don't they just leave and go get a job as an electrician or digging ditches?
You're right. This is something that I've said, you know, with regard to my business. And when I was talking about ABC and then talking about the agencies that govern bars, you know, that at some point law enforcement officers need to choose whether they work for the people or whether they work for the agency. You know, and over again, I think we come to the conclusion that they work for the people. You know, under the directive of their agencies, I understand that, but they need to make a choice at some point. And I think we're coming very quickly upon that time where they're going to have to pick a side on whether they are with us or against us. You know, so I agree with you there, you know, and I'm not going to divulge too much about the private conversations that I've had with deputies about this, but the consensus is that we agree, we think that this could have been addressed a little bit differently. And I'm not going to get into that, you know, as far as what path should have or should not have been taken. But we need to hold our sheriff accountable because at the end of the day, he is our elected official. I mean, we're in a unique situation where he was not elected here, and that's a whole nother subject. But he needs to be held accountable as the head of the snake.
And absolutely he does. And you made the statement that the time is going to come. No, the time is here. We are at war. We may not recognize it. It's not a war necessarily with guns and tanks, but they have a war on our culture, on our way of life, on our institutions. They have a war against our president, our election system, and they have a war against me. And this is
you're
the
right.
time to choose. It's past time.
I think
we're not waiting for some time in the future to take sides. It's now.
And
right now.
And you're absolutely right. And we really need... This all starts with law enforcement, right? Law enforcement is what keeps people like me from doing really bad things, right?
No, I disagree. Law enforcement doesn't keep you from doing anything.
Let me finish my thought.
Your conscience, your faith in God keep you from doing bad things.
No.
Law enforcement is just there to pick up the pieces when it happens.
I understand what you're saying, but let me finish my thought real quick. Law enforcement is what keeps people like me from doing the things that we really want to do to further our cause. Right? Let's face it, none of us want to go to prison. We all want to come home to our families at the end of the day. We need law enforcement to stand with us. We need them to be on our side and fight with us to get this thing done. Without it, I think we have a really tough hill to climb.
Well, I think that's true. And I think this is really an important subject because I think that there's one thing that we have to understand. And that one thing didn't mean 1 minute, Travis. That one thing means I'm going to finish what I'm going to say. Basically, you know, here's something that gives me pause. And actually, I heard you say this, Carlos, the first time you were on. And that is that there has been a situation where the police has been, this is not, again, an opinion, this is just the fact. The police have been militarized over the last 20 years. You can't deny that. I saw a police officer talking to a homeless guy the other day. He had full body armor on. It was on the outside of his coat. His guns were showing. His rifle's in the middle there. And as our employee, he's better protected than the employers. In this county, the sheriff and the police chief do not issue open carry permits. And why should they have to issue a permit for a constitutional right? Yet the people, like they defend us, do they really? Don't they show up usually after the crime's been committed? We need to defend ourselves, yet we don't have the same rights as the people we employ. We can't. I mean, if we had open carry, you know, I think there'd be a lot of deterrence on some crime. That's just my opinion.
A whole lot.
I agree. That's why it's critical that our county becomes an open carry county.
Yet we have to get permission. Is there anything wrong with that, folks, that we have to get permission?
Oh, we've got conditioned to think that we need permission for everything we do, and we absolutely do not.
That's thinking like a
California. Basenko said he'd arrest you. Basenko said he'd arrest you. He said it at our meeting
and
in front of a couple of people.
And he's a product of our county and of our public schools. And that's
hold them accountable.
And that's the problem we're having is that people need to be able to stand up and think as a sovereign citizen and not as a Californian who's been indoctrinated through all this garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it started in the 60s. How many of us were in the school system since the 60s? All of us. Mm-hmm. So guess what? That's when it started. And they've been indoctrinating all of us that went through the school system here in California since then. So we need to fight for everything and stand up and think like a sovereign citizen of this great nation and of this state. Mm-hmm. And if we're not going to do that, then just get to the back of the line.
Yeah, when you have a sheriff, and I don't know where McGraney stands, I'll ask Eric, but when you have a sheriff that actually is saying that he will arrest you with your carrying a gun, which is your constitutional right, he will arrest you and he'll do that, and he's your employee, yet he can do it. And I'll leave it with this comment. His comment was, Basenko's comment was, well, concealed carry, which you have to get permission for, it's not a right, it's a privilege. Concealed carry is tactically superior to open carry. So I asked him, well, then why don't you have all of your officers concealed carry? Don't you want them to be safer? And his comment was, well, it's a deterrent. I mean, you can't make this feces up. Was that okay? Was feces okay?
That's good.
Okay, I got thumbs up on that. Feces okay.
All right, we need to go off
to
a break.
We need to go off to a break. And Lori, hold on. We'll get to you after the break.
Time has come.
For 51.
Amen.
We can jump in the water and see what flows. We've been saving for a rainy day. Let's beat the storm and be on our way.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Give them an inch, they take a mile. Take you in with a phony smile. Wouldn't you agree?
Okay, we are back. If you have a comment or a question, 530-605-4567. We do have Lori on the line, and Lori, you've got to speak up because Janet won't be able to hear you. So I'm sorry, it's not your phone, it's these phones. You have to speak up as loud as you can when you're speaking because we'd love to have Janet be able to hear you on the other line. Go ahead, Lori.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's great to hear from Janet and Carlos and Travis. Please keep him.
He's awesome.
Shirt or no shirt.
I know. Well, no, shirt.
Shirt, shirt.
Yeah, shirt. You haven't seen it, man.
It's still New Year's weekend, so whatever. I just want to thank a lot of work is happening behind the scenes, and you guys do not get enough credit whatsoever. Every time I see another interview, a video, a plan, Sally, I'm talking to you too. It is unending, the amount of work by leaders, and we need more people to pony up. Seriously, I wanted to share something because your theme has been a bit more on youth, our children, and the future. And yes, indeed, we are in a crisis, and we are being attacked on many levels. That it does not have to be war in the traditional sense, like Janet just explained. The school boards are one other option to go and view your input, your data, your research. We're looking at these asphyxiating masks that they need to have. The children gagged in all day, stand 6 feet apart. How fun is that? The grade point averages are dropping. The kids' eyeballs are going to fry out the more they're on these devices and computers and the LED lights, so that they even make it to the campus in a hybrid schedule. Bill Gates has offered for free all these Microsoft computers. How handy is that, right? Remember what free really means. It's not free. And the 5G setup that's happening while all these campuses are pretty much dark and full of cobwebs. The vaccine schedule is massive. And then you've got the CSE, the Comprehensive Sex Education, that they're trying to indoctrinate. So, folks, I don't know. This is huge. And I think all these parents that are trying to struggle with work and school, they need support, help. I know there's an Open Chester group that does a Thursday night class. Maybe someone who's involved directly can give the next date and time. I have it somewhere.
January 5th.
Okay, very good. And here's my closing referral. Epoch Times just put out, apparently, Nancy Pelosi Friday announced with the House of Representatives a proposed, I don't know if it's a bill, but it's to stop with the gender identity. They want to take away the gender terms of father, mother, son, and daughter, and just erase it, eliminate it, to honor all gender identities. So they're going to have this subgrouping that they're proposing. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it. It's on Epoch Times, which is spelled, it's for people not on computers who have friends, E-P-O-C-H, times.com. And again, half the time I laugh my behind off when I read comments sometimes in these very serious articles. Here's what someone said about Nancy Pelosi, and I'm not going to use every word they used. How is this senile old biddy still allowed to do anything? Shouldn't she be in a nursing home, preferably one like the New York City nursing homes where you can live in close proximity with other CCP virus-infected elderly people? And then there's a smiley face emoji. That's my comment, you guys.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Carlos. I hope we can see you maybe on Tuesday. We'll be doing open mic.
I will be there. And, you know, you're right. They've launched a war on us, on our kids, on our minds, you know. And Janet's right. You know, the time is now. I keep saying the time's approaching. When I say the time's approaching quickly, I'm talking about a kinetic war. Let's be very clear about that, you know. They've already waged this war starting in the 60s, like we were saying earlier. And we're products of that, you know. This is why we are where we are. You know, we wouldn't be here. And we have to give credit where credit's due. And I keep saying this. We have to give the left, the Maoists, the Marxists, the socialists, communists, whatever you want to call them, give them credit for being very patient. And they played the long game where we were very short-sighted. We went to work. We took care of our families. We were busy living our lives while they were busy planning this whole, you know, monstrosity of a plan, you know. And here we are. And we wondered, well, How did we get here? Well, we didn't get here overnight, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and then we're not going to get out of it overnight. We need to remember this.
We were ignorant to the fact that it was happening.
Absolutely.
In the beginning, you know, for a lot of us, you know, until we...
It was happening somewhere else. It was happening in Cuba. It was happening in Vietnam.
Right.
It was happening in China.
All these other places. Yeah.
Remember, the key word in ignorant is ignore.
Ignore, yeah.
And so, and that's interesting you say that, Carlos. Matt was saying the same thing this morning about the long game. And it's cool, because I don't know whether you even heard his program or not.
Oh, I didn't.
See, that's the beauty of this. So many people are on the same page, you know, and I think the thing that's really freaking out the left and freaking out boards of supervisors, senators, government, totalitarian government, what's freaking them out is the fact that we're all getting together and we are on the same page.
Absolutely.
And the idea is to understand that everybody has a gift and a talent. And it doesn't have to be the same, or you can't compare yourself to somebody else.
And we're not drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, in fact, we had this conversation yesterday, Terry. You know, you say we don't have to be the same. We were having this conversation with Jesse and Woody at the barbershop yesterday about how, in fact, it's better that we're not all the same. And we all have different approaches. And I've had my approach questioned by a lot of people. Every day I get questioned, you know, about my approach. And I even made a Facebook post about it. I said, you might not like my tactics, but you're sure going to like the results, you know.
Amen.
And we all have different tactics, and it's okay as long as we all have the same target in mind. You know, we're all working towards the same goals.
Right.
We're, you know, we're all going to get across the finish line together.
Everybody comes at it at a different angle. You know, you can take your way, somebody else takes their way, somebody else takes their way. So everybody's closing in on that.
And we don't all have to agree on everything.
Right.
I think that's a misconception, too, is that we do not all have to agree on everything. What we do have to agree on is who the enemy is.
That's
that,
correct.
That we do need to agree.
Well, the other thing
is,
too, you know, as we move ahead, I know that our goal has been you move ahead in a constructive way. To where we actually, as we fight this war, and it may be the civilest of wars,
right?
Make no mistake. And as we go ahead in this, what we have to do is make sure we're in agreement on stuff, or that we may not be in agreement, but we have to be working together on these things. It's sort of like you know, you talked about your demeanor and stuff. I love your demeanor, of course, you know, because I love what you do. I love Jesse. I love Jesse's passion.
My wife doesn't always.
I love
like
Janet.
It,
and you want to hear somebody? You want to hear somebody that like when Janet really goes in and lays it out there, it's remarkable, because she'll go in there, and I'll tell you what.
I can hear her fire.
Oh, man.
I love that.
Oh, me too.
Thank you, Janet.
And
Janet is just a calm old lady who never gets riled.
I want to be in a fighting hole with Janet when this goes down.
Yeah, you want her?
I pick her on my team.
Yeah, she's on our team, that's for sure.
Hey, Bob, you got about a minute. That's it, buddy. You got a minute, Bob. What's up?
Hello.
Bob, you've got a minute.
Got a minute.
What's up?
Make
your radio's on.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, what's going on? Something we're missing here. The police, all these people know they work for us. We pay them. But we pay them through the mayor, the governor, and all these things. And it's those people who give them the paycheck that they get. So whatever the governor, the mayor, all the rest of the people in line, tell a police officer or anybody else what to do and how to do it. They're not going to do it our way, the way they see they have to do it, because, yeah, we can get them fired, but they can get fired and not get a job. And the first thing they think about is their family before they think about you, me, or anybody else, because they got to support their family, and they know we're not going to come and support it for them. So I understand where they're at. Whether they're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Something we got to do.
Bob, you've got about 30 seconds.
These people. Bob? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
What
we
got to do is support these people.
Support what people?
Law enforcement.
Oh, yeah, we do support them. We do support them.
We want them to support us.
We want them to support us. We've never said that we don't.
It's got to be reciprocated. It's got to be reciprocated.
It's got to be reciprocated. That's the only thing. I mean, they're supposed to stand between us and tyranny. And as far as feeding their families, a lot of them, it's about the power, Bob. I don't think that the borders, I don't think the Modi thinks about feeding his family. I think he thinks about power. I think a lot of these people that think about power and what they could do for themselves and how they can better their own little nest egg. I'm not saying that there isn't people who think like you're saying. I'm sure there is. There's probably a lot of people that are worried. A lot of these police officers, I'm sure all of them are worried about taking care of their kids. But
all
anyway,
right. The music's on. We got to go.
Yeah. Carlos, my friend.
Bye.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you later. Thank you, Carlos, for coming
in. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, brother. All right.
Thanks, Travis.
Time has come.
For 51.
Hey, Travis. Wear your shirt with pride, buddy.
You don't serve us, you serve LA. The time
has come. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.